Welcome to the Litigation Finance Podcast. I'm your host, John Freund. This podcast is brought to you by the Litigation Finance Journal, the only dedicated news source to the litigation finance industry. Please visit www.litigationfinancejournal.com. Our guest today is Alex Garnier. Alex is a founding partner and portfolio manager of Northwall Capital, a provider of private capital to non-standard European situations. Founded in 2017, Northwall Capital manages approximately 1.2 billion euros on behalf of institutional investors. The firm has a strong track record in litigation finance and has invested over 200 million euros into its ESG-focused legal assets strategy. Alex, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, John.
Yeah, it's great to have you. So why don't we just start with a brief introduction to Northwall. Why don't you tell us about the firm's background, how you came to be involved in litigation funding space, and also what your investment strategy is in the sector.
As you mentioned, the firm was founded in 2017. We founded the firm with the aim of providing private capital to what we call non-standard situations across primarily Western Europe. We managed a number of sector agnostic, opportunistic private credit funds, which today total around 1.2 billion euros. I'm one of the three co-founders alongside Fabian Krobog and Ian Lockable. I'm the PM and I run the deal team. You asked how we came to be involved in the legal asset space specifically. Well, you know, as a firm, we focus on providing capital, more generally speaking, into non-standard situations, often what's called alternatives by LPs. We look for investment strategies that exhibit asymmetric risk reward, ideally non-correlated to the broader markets, especially in times like we find ourselves today. And then we spend a lot of time becoming experts in those particular strategies. We were early to spot that certain group claims in Europe and the UK were an interesting opportunity for us, sufficiently advanced in terms of liability with defendants that had been found liable elsewhere in the world, in the US or Australia, or simply having admitted their conduct in other jurisdictions, but still refusing to compensate claimants over here. That's how we first got into this space, the diesel emissions space in Germany and then the UK. In the UK in particular, we feel we're in a unique place and we like this jurisdiction. There are some highly sophisticated law firms when it comes to generating new cases, book building, and litigating those cases, but we also have a very predictable and legal and reliable legal system. So when we saw all of those characteristics, you know, it fitted really very much within our mandate. Our perspective has been and will always be that of a credit investor. From our perspective, legal assets, litigation financing offers very interesting risk reward. It's a much riskier investment than a normal lending strategy, that's for sure, because litigation outcomes are inherently highly uncertain. But we look for investments and try and structure our investments in a way that mitigates for those risks.
Yeah, and so what does a typical legal assets investment for Northwall look like? What sort of criteria do you look for?
There are a number of criteria we look for. And in addition to that, as I mentioned, we also work really hard to actively structure the transactions to mitigate the risks that come with the very nature of an investment in legal assets. So when we're looking at law firms or other partners to work with, we're looking for a proven ability to book build cases where we're focused on large group actions, demonstrable litigation success, of course. We're also looking for downside protection from ideally a large and diverse casebook. And of course, we're looking for cases that tend to have an uncorrelated return to the broader market and the macro, which is really why a lot of our LPs are interested in this space in the first place.
What are the challenges, what are the risks, the challenges you see for investors in this space, in the legal assets litigation funding space, and how do you mitigate those risks?
There are a number of risks that we see on litigation financings. Even when we have a loan to a law firm, you're lending to a performing borrower, but with a very complex business operation and an even more complex collateral base. And the underlying litigation's outcomes can be highly uncertain. So we try and structure around that by, for example, having those risks as diversified as possible. We look for a large number of different claims, ideally claims at different stages. What's best is if some are close to settlement and balance out some of those claims that may be years away from trial. We like exposure to different sectors. We like exposure to different fact patterns. In some cases, you might want claims to be brought in different venues, although ideally all of those venues are where you have comfort around reliability and predictability of outcomes. It goes without saying, of course, that you want to pick cases that meet the basic criteria, such as having a strong legal basis, or ideally many strong legal bases in the alternative, and other specific factors that point to a successful outcome. You want, you know, your counterparties to have a track record of success, or at least for there to be a track record of success in those particular types of cases in respect to those facts against the same defendant with the same claimant counsel in the same jurisdiction, even in the same court. Of course, you don't have all of those in any particular case, otherwise there wouldn't be any risk at all, but as many as possible. You want your counterparties, the lawyers, the law firm, barristers in the UK or other in England, experts and the claimant to be of the highest caliber, having a history of being able to accurately forecast and manage costs and duration. You want them to be fully aligned with you. You don't want people to be paid out before you've got your investors' capital back. And you want them to be honest about things that have gone wrong and to have learned lessons from things that have gone wrong in the past so that they're not making mistakes for the first time. What we look to do really is put in place structural mitigants and protections such that even if a small number of cases fail, you'll get your principal back and generate some strong returns from the successful cases.
And, you know, there are a lot of competitors in this space, obviously more coming in by the year. How do you differentiate yourself from others in the litigation funding space?
I think there are probably a couple of broad categories of competitors in this space. There are the pure play litigation funders, and on the other end of the spectrum, for investors like ourselves that come from credit investing, typically, although there are some equity investors as well. We and I personally am first and foremost a special situations credit investor. That's what we do as a firm. This is one of our strategies. What that means is that we compare our legal assets pipeline to our broader pipeline. And while the underwriting and analysis is of course bespoke to the nature of these investments, we apply the very same rigorous standards, and we have an extremely strong pipeline across the board, which as an aside is significantly better than it ever has been in the current volatile markets, with which to compare the legal investments. And it means that if the top of funnel is stuff full of opportunities, that we only choose the very best opportunities when we get to the bottom. I think we're also different from some of the other players in this space because we tend to focus on funding law firms, on portfolios, and on group claims. Although we do look at single name disputes such as IP and construction disputes, etc., as well. The reason we do that is because it's important to us to have repeatable, scalable investments. We run a relatively small team. We have lawyers in the team. We have non-legal litigation funding analysts as well. But what we don't have is a setup with hundreds of people that analyze individual cases on a regular basis. So I think, you know, we're different from that perspective, but I think we're being joined by more and more credit funds in this particular space. I think it's good for the industry because it brings a slightly different level of discipline.
Yeah, and you know, those LFJ members and readers and listeners who tuned into our most recent event, ESG and Litigation Funding, they'll recognize you as one of the panelists from there. We spoke very in-depth on the topic. I do want to ask about ESG as a portion of your overall strategy. How does it fit into your overall investment thesis? In terms of ESG-compliant investments, how relevant is this to your firm and to your investors?
The short answer is it's extremely important. You know, every single investor that we talk to asks us about ESG, not just in our litigation investments, but just, you know, more generally. I think there are a few different aspects to this answer. I mean, first of all, as I've said before, it's very important to the partners and employees of the firm as individuals. You know, I personally much prefer ESG-focused cases to construction contract disputes. It's just more interesting, and they make you feel good about the contribution you're making back to society. And it's, you know, very important to try and achieve justice for those without the resources to fight some of these large corporations that we have on some of these group cases. But you're also deterring other actors from similar exploitative practices. Secondly, it's good business. It's very good for the firm. It's something that, you know, we feel strongly about as a firm. And it's, you know, good for us to present our credentials as such to our investors that we are, you know, fighting the fight for consumers in this way and holding large corporations accountable for the damage that they've done to the environment, for example, and to societies and other people. It's why, as you know, we've invested £150 million in Pogus Goodhead, which has represented claimants in Brazil's Mariana Dam disaster, in the emissions space, and workers that were wrongly classified as self-employed under exploitative contracts. Finally, and vitally, you know, it's also important to courts and policymakers and in public opinion. And as I mentioned when we discussed this the other day, the fact is that ESG-related litigations are simply just much more likely to settle than other types of litigation, because these cases are being tried in the court of public opinion. I do want to be absolutely clear, though, that we don't sacrifice our other criteria, downside protection, risk reward, attractive economics, and we don't need to, because, you know, we're finding that ESG compliant and ESG focused cases meet all of those criteria.
Final question here. Looking ahead, what opportunities do you see down the road for the litigation finance industry? Obviously, you can speak more to Europe and the UK. How do you see this industry developing over the coming years there?
I think the UK and Europe are in an excellent place at the moment. We're at a stage where many of the leading players have developed and now have an access to a demonstrable track record with some very good and very useful data. This opens up the asset class to a new group of investors, including institutional LP investors who traditionally shied away from litigation financing, or legal assets, as we call our approach. And actually, by the way, given the amount of demand we have from investors, including those that have invested in our first two legal asset vehicles, but also those who haven't and invest more generally in the credit product, we're now thinking about launching the third fund in our series early next year. There is a huge amount of demand in this market. And I think it's as a result of some great success stories in the press and also in the UK in particular, as a result of the sophistication of the counterparties that we have here. I think there are many innovations coming. I know in some of your articles and on some of your chats previously, you've talked about a few different things, including things like crowdfunding, secondaries, and I think all of those are potentially very interesting and helpful to this industry. In terms of secondaries, I think that is certainly something that will be helpful. One of the big questions we're always asked by LPs is around duration risk, and a more active secondary market can only help. There are now more and more invested cases, assets and portfolios that are at the 5-year plus mark, and they're beginning to catch the interest of secondaries investors, including potentially ourselves. What I would caution is, though, that tail legal assets are quite different and more idiosyncratic in terms of risk profile. They're hard to underwrite and value than typical private equity or credit assets. Having said that, there is a way to structure them in a way that aligns the sellers, the lawyers, and provides sufficient downside protection, and hopefully adds some liquidity to this space, which is, you know, one of the things that is hard to come by.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are some topics we've been hearing a lot about at the recent conferences and events. Secondaries keeps coming up, and it's a big one, and ESG as well. So, Alex, we really appreciate your thoughts today on Northwall and everything you guys are up to, and thank you for coming on the podcast and sharing your insights with us.
Thanks, John. Very good to speak to you.
Absolutely. And if you'd like to learn more about Northwall Capital, you can visit them at their website, www.northwallcap.com. That's all one word, northwallcap.com. And we hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll see you on the next episode of the Litigation Finance Podcast.